the Healing Through Love podcast with Charlene Lynch and Rose Davidson.
I'm just saying, if you could do something differently, what would have been so that that would never have occurred? Like, what were the signs that maybe we could all know about so that we could know and that we wouldn't go down that path?
Yeah, and I will say this is maybe a really hard question to answer. It's going to be impossible for them to know signs, and even worse, impossible for them to remove themselves from the situation, the circumstances, or the environment to be okay. What I would say is always know your surroundings. Make sure that you're taking extra safe precautions. Even being out and about, even when walking to your car, you know, sometimes it can feel kind of silly, like, oh, maybe you're being too overprotective. In a situation like this, you'd rather be safe than sorry.
Welcome to another episode of Healing Through Love. Each week, we share ideas, experiences, and resources to increase the awareness of domestic and family violence and to empower survivors to grow and thrive. We talk with experts who share their advice or with people who have experienced abuse, no matter where they are on their journey. This is all about healing through love. And now, here are your hosts, Charlene Lynch and Rose Davidson.
Hello and welcome to the Healing Through Love podcast. I'm your host, Charlene Lynch, and together we're shining a light on hope, resilience, transformation in the journey to end domestic violence. Each week we bring you inspiring interviews with change makers, survivors, advocates, and experts who are making a difference in the lives of those affected by domestic and family violence. Whether you're on a healing journey or supporting someone who is, this is your place for powerful stories, practical tools, and heartfelt inspiration. Let's heal through love together. I'm excited to share with you today our amazing guests. Whitley became a victim advocate after becoming a victim and survivor of domestic and sexual violence. She has taken the injustices and she has endured and used those experiences to focus on awareness, education, and preventing and lobbying to advocate for legislation reform that creates positive change throughout the world. I'm excited to have you here today with us on Healing Through Love. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited for this conversation.
Look, I'm always going to start with what happened to get you where you are now.
Yeah, so I always had a heart for women that have gone through domestic and sexual violence, as I've known so many women that have. But in January 2020, I was actually met a guy on a dating site, very much wanting to meet my person, find love, and have kind of my happily ever after. And he ended up being the absolute worst dating experience. It was basically a nightmare from hell. I was held hostage and I was physically and sexually assaulted repeatedly. It's been now 5 years. He has not once been brought to justice. And from that, what ended up happening was there, I realized how broken our system is here in the US. And that there just really isn't anything that like put in place to protect victims and survivors. It's kind of actually a system that protects the abusers. And so during that time, I became a certified life, love, and relationship coach. And then I also started really focusing on reform. And I basically took all the injustices I experienced in my case where I eventually had to defend myself pro se in federal district court, because I was sued by him. And this is actually something that's been happening international. After the Me Too movement in 2017, abusers started coming forward and suing their victims in what's become known as she said he sued. And what it does is it puts the victim as the defendant in a civil case where no one's going to represent them. You have a higher chance of being represented pro se in a criminal case, but never in a civil case. And so it causes the abuser to weaponize the legal system, use it against the victim to re-victimize them, and then basically render them silent And then they also leave them in a detrimental financial situation where they now have no money. And in my case, I had to file bankruptcy just to protect myself. And so I started really kind of taking note of everything that was going on. And in April of 2023, after they closed my case and the chief of police said, "We're not doing anything. Unless somebody else is raped and harmed, we're closing your case." I decided to write a bill. And that bill was going to set a precedent where these abusers would be held accountable and where victims and survivors would get justice. And to make sure that they couldn't be sued again. And that bill, I'm so excited to say, is going before the House and Senate this session to be voted on to become a law. And so I know a thing or two because I did win my case in court. And winning my case wasn't me winning money, it was winning my voice back because I was forced to sign a settlement agreement that protected him and silenced me. And it was made miraculously mute. They never overturn settlement agreements, but they did in my case. And I got my voice back, and he was no longer protected. And so now what I do is I help victims, survivors, and women know how to better advocate for themselves because you are your absolute best advocate. But also, I just have learned more things about the system, and that's what I'm trying to do is right the wrongs of injustice that I've experienced. So that nobody else experiences what I've gone through.
It's a look, it's a completely different legal system there in the States than it is here in Australia. And from what I see and going through it myself, is we've got greater levels of support. So it's almost foreign for us, and greater networks of support that are free as well. And because we've got a different healthcare system as well than you do. So it almost sounds like you're talking about a different planet, it could be that that they sue you. The person that's done the harm does the suing. It's just wow. I'm just gobsmacked that that is the case. And I suppose even though I've been in this proximity for a very long time, I didn't really know it could be that bad. So give me some ideas about what girls can do to support themselves to protect themselves. And we've got a vast American audience. So yes, we'll talk from that perspective.
Yeah, I've actually had victims and survivors reach out to me since my story broke on the news. And I think the most important thing is knowing the difference of who can help you and who can't. Not everybody that says they're going to help you are actually going to be helpful. And also knowing the laws, that is so crucial. I think that's what actually helped in me winning my case is because I studied the law. And what I didn't know is like I knew each state had different laws. But what I didn't know is each court within that state has different laws. And then each judge within that court has their own different laws. So one judge might say, "Oh, this is okay." And then another judge say, no, that's not gonna happen in my court." And so it was me being on my hands and knees on the floor of my living room, looking through all these legal documents and trying to understand what I was reading without a law degree. But also trying to figure out what do I need to do to protect myself because I had to be my ultimate advocate. And of course, I didn't walk away unscathed from the legal system. I mean, I walked away with a very bad taste in my mouth, which is why I'm trying to change legislation. But it really was eye-opening of all the different things that are wrong with the system and that need to change. And so it was actually quite the education. But I had to become very knowledgeable about a subject I knew nothing about. And I think that's really important. I think a lot of times when we're in situations and we don't know what to do, we just feel so helpless and stuck. And I literally had to have a pep talk with myself, Charlene, and saying, like, suck it up, Buttercup. Like, you don't have time to cry about this. Like, you have to fight. You have to protect you because nobody else is. And that was the case. Nobody else came to protect me. I had attorneys that were like, "Oh, this is awful. Oh my gosh, this is one of the worst stories I've ever heard." But no one would step in and protect me. I had to do that. And I did. I actually ended up winning my case pro se in federal district court against him and all his attorneys. So I think knowing the system, knowing who you can trust, and I will say, even those people that even though they couldn't help, their encouragement is what gave me the strength to keep going. So they did serve a purpose after all. But knowing the system, knowing the laws, and just documenting everything, that is so important.
And whether you're going through a court case or not, documenting everything is what's going to allow you to be able to press charges in the first place. Because when we're in that state of still being, still in the process of being the victim, then you're going to be gaslighted into believing it's something else. But for me, definitely writing things down, dates, times, locations, things that happened, and obviously then keeping that document very safe, somewhere that it can't be got to, is going to, because that actually ends up being much worse for you in the long run, if that's been found. So now I'm going to dial back and have a look at. So is this, like, just give me a better understanding. So if you've accused someone of doing something, and they get away with it in the States, can they then sue you if they've got off?
Yeah, so in the situ so automatically, if a woman comes forward in the States and says, I've been abused, I've been sexually assaulted, whatever it is, it's an automatic he said, she said. It doesn't matter how much evidence she actually has. Still document the evidence. You need to do that. But even with evidence, the police automatically are like, he said, she said, we're not doing anything about it. And in my situation, they immediately went to him and said, hey, we've had this woman come forward and this is what's going on. He said, oh, I'm lawyering up. That's all he said. And they said, okay, that's fine. And they wouldn't even bring him in. They're like, well, he's lawyered up. And I had to say to them, how many times have people lawyered up? Where, I mean, we're talking criminals, drugs, murder, whatever, and you still bring them in. So that's just kind of like a cop out and an excuse. And so I think that was like, one of the things was that shouldn't happen. It's an injustice within our law that shouldn't be allowed to happen of he said, she said. But yes, I didn't know that you could be sued for coming forward. I mean, you can report someone to the IRS and you're completely protected under this whistleblower law in the US. Completely protected. But I didn't know until it happened to me that if you turn someone in, they can sue you. And it can be a she said he sued. And it wasn't until I did my research that I was like, what is going on? Like, I didn't even know what to call what was going on. And when I started Googling things, it was news report after news report all throughout the like internationally, not just nationally, but internationally of she said he sued. And I was like, oh my gosh, what? How is this possible? Like, to me, that just blew my mind that that was allowed. And in my court case, the initial complaint that he filed, he said, I know she's a victim advocate. I want the judge to make an example out of her so that other women can't come forward and cry rape. And it's like our system. The people that were processing this lawsuit saw that and were like, okay, go ahead. You can sue her. Here you go. Here's your paperwork. But it didn't raise a red flag. It didn't cause them to say, whoa, wait a second. You're claiming that she's saying you did this to her and now you're suing her. We need to talk to her. No one ever said that. They are the system failed and allowed him to re-victimize me. And they've done it with other people in other states and in other countries. It's insane.
Okay, I hear everything that you're saying. In Australia, it's almost the reverse. So I personally know men that have been attacked by their not so amazing exes, and they've been, and I know some that have gone to jail, but they didn't do anything. So we've got the opposite problem here, where people who are being accused that the defense automatically goes to the survivor or not survivor in some cases, and the perpetrator is the one that ends up being in some cases jailed for something that actually never happened. Isn't that amazing that we've got these opposite things happening on two sides of this planet? It's amazing. Okay, so let's dial back even further to have a look at in if you could give words of wisdom to the people that are listening today around, you know, if you could do something differently, and I'm not blaming the victim here, I'm just saying if you could do something differently, what would it have been so that that would never have occurred? Like, what were the signs that maybe we could all know about so that we could know and that we wouldn't go down that path?
Yeah, and I will say this is maybe a really hard question to answer. And I want to be like careful in how I answer it because for those that maybe have been abused from childhood, it's going to be impossible for them to know signs. And even worse, impossible for them to remove themselves from the situation, the circumstances, or the environment to be okay. I will say you can be so careful, and as I found with working with victims, and still something happens, no matter how careful you are. And so that's kind of the really slippery slope, the tricky part. What I would say is always know your surroundings. Make sure that you're taking extra safe precautions. Even being out and about, even when walking to your car, you know, sometimes it can feel kind of silly, like, oh, maybe you're being too overprotective. In a situation like this, you'd rather be safe than sorry, just because once you get to that point of no return when the harm happens, there's no undo, there's no going back. It just can't. Unfortunately, in my situation, it was a date that seemed to be going really well. And then I thought I was doing a good job of saying, here's what's not going to happen on this date. I'm not going to be intimate with you. I need to know that you're okay with that. And he said, oh, yeah, I'm fine. I said, so you're okay with that? Absolutely, no problem. So I took that as okay, if we are, you know, we went to coffee, we went to the movies, we were gonna go, he lived a mile away, we were gonna go back to his place, watch another movie. And I made it clear my, you know, where I stood, my boundaries, which is why I thought, okay, I'm doing good. I'm exercising, I'm making clear what my boundaries are. But it became very clear that once I crossed that threshold, things changed very quickly and we were never gonna watch a movie. And I tried to escape three separate times and he blocked me. And that was the third time that I knew I'm not going to walk away from this unscathed. And at that moment, I was in, you know, flight, fight, or freeze. And I knew I just needed to survive. I didn't know what all he was going to do. I just didn't want to be found somewhere on the side of the road in a ditch. And, you know, I think that's a question I've asked myself often. What could I have done? You know, what could have changed? Thank God I had a male doctor because I immediately went to urgent care to get checked out afterwards. And he looked at me as I was sobbing and he said, crossing the threshold wasn't consent. He said, I want you to know that. And I just sobbed even more. And he said, and I also want you to know there was nothing that you could have done that was going to change that outcome. He knew what he was going to do. He had that planned. That's the type of guy he is. And I was like, oh my gosh. And it made me realize it was either me or someone else. I wish it hadn't have been me. I wish I hadn't have gone back to his place to watch a movie and cross that threshold. At the same time, there's a lot of things I wouldn't know about our judicial system right now. And from this is now a bill that I wrote that's going to become law if voted into, that is actually going to be introduced before the House and Senate this year. That would be changing the course of legislative history that would be protecting the rights of victims, survivors, and women everywhere. Never would have happened, Charlene, if this hadn't happened. I, of course, wish 1,000 million times I could go back and have this undone because it's cost me so much. I had to file bankruptcy to protect myself. I went into debt. I struggled with mental health. And not that I wanted to die, I just didn't want to live. I ended up pregnant because of this, suffered a traumatic miscarriage. I mean, all these things that I went through, I got robbed in so many different ways. And of course, there's still never been justice. His male DNA is in our CODIS, it's a federal forensic index that every state has access to. And they still won't bring him in, even for questioning. They will not hold him accountable. And he is walking free to do this again. And, you know, that's like such a heavy burden. And so any shame that I had from walking across that threshold, I had to let that go, realizing that at the end of the day, someone made a choice that impacted my life, no matter how many times I said, no, this is not okay, this is not happening. And that was ignored. And it is what it is. And I think, in regards to abuse, even toxic, unhealthy relationships, sometimes we have to accept things that are unbelievably hard for us to accept. And it can almost be like just you feel gutted. Like, how could this happen? How could you, like, it's so hard to accept. But you need it to. You need to do that. You need to feel it in order to heal it. And then you need to just let go of any guilt or shame because at the end of the day, honestly, it's not my guilt or shame. It's his. And so for anyone out there that feels shame, something happened, feels like they did something, it wasn't your fault. They, at the end of the day, had a choice to make. And you don't have the power to be in control of their choice. And what you can do now is choose to heal from what happened and take back that power. And I've taken back that power. He has no power over me anymore. I'm no longer silenced. And I have a bill. And I've been told by legislators that I talk to, who I've sent my bill to every single legislator in the House and Senate, who have told me, Whitley, I've heard all about you. I've heard all about your bill. Your name has been in rooms you haven't even entered in. Everybody knows about your bill and what happened to you. So whether this bill goes through or not, everybody knows what he did. My story's been heard. And even that little bit is still going to make a difference, even if this bill doesn't become a law. Because they know that there's been so many injustices, and they're trying, however they can, these legislators, to right the wrongs so it doesn't happen to somebody else.
So at one point, are you allowed to say his name?
Yeah, so that is unfortunately the difficult part. His name is on a police report. It is listed as he is a suspect for 11A rape, which is known as the most severe form of rape per the penal codes. It would actually open me up to another lawsuit.
Wow, it's a completely different world there in the States. That's amazing. Wow, what a journey you've been on. And it feels like as if you're an angel, Whitley. It feels like as if you've taken the weight from lots of other women who aren't in the position to fight the fight. And you're fighting the good fight and you're standing up and you're making a difference. So a thank you from us at Healing Through Love and for the women of the States that really need to have this voice and the bill that you've put towards the Senate. Is it the Senate, did you say, or the upper house?
Yes, it'll be on before the House and Senate,
Yep.
to be voted on.
Yeah. So look, congratulations for that. And And if you're listening today and you are a survivor of family and/or domestic violence, look, reach out to Healing Through Love because we've got something special for you. We have Pamper Days, so think day spa on steroids, where you come along and our beautiful practitioners pamper you from head to toe, and it's all for free. So you have massages done, you might have your chakras aligned, you might have makeup done, your hair done. 25 different practitioners to hold the space for you in a beautiful experience for you, all for free on the day of the spa. So if you're in the States, reach out to us. We have locations near you. And if you're in Australia or Japan or Hong Kong, reach out to us because we have locations near you as well. If you're today listening to us and you are a practitioner, and you think, you know what, I'd like to hold the space for someone to heal, reach out to Healing Through Love. We'd love to have you join us, either as a contributor, a volunteer, or even an organizer, and help us create this beautiful space to heal, a soft place to land for survivors of family and domestic violence. We also have educators in that space as well, people that have written books, and also people that are therapists. So we'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to pay it forward. Just a closing words here, Whitley. I would love to hear your closing words of wisdom to our audience today.
Yeah, I would definitely say for the victims and survivors and just women that have gone through difficult relationships, know you are not alone. Know that what you've gone through, like you are not the abuse, you're not the sexual assault, you're not the trauma. That does not define you. How men have treated you does not say anything about your worth. That says everything about their character, about who they are, about whether or not they're safe. That does not say or identify who you are. And just be kind to yourself. Give yourself grace. Give yourself time to heal. Healing is not linear. I can't tell you how many times people have told me, oh, you know, you're talking about this, so you're not healed. No. This is empowering. And it's helping other people feel empowered. I have healed. I've even forgiven him. But I think what's important is not to put any pressure on victims and survivors to be at certain healing points. They have to heal on their own. To force that actually can cause more trauma. But just be kind to yourself, practice self-care, practice self-love, and know that you can get through this. What you went through is absolutely horrible. No doubt about that. But this isn't you. And this isn't who you were created to be and your purpose. Like you, your story isn't done being written. So, you know, get up, heal, move forward, and just face the day. You know, my whole platform is about taking what you've been through and using it to live each day with purpose, making a difference one day, one life at a time. We all have a story. And just like I have, you can use your story to help others and make a difference in the world.
Oh, I love it. Such a powerful ending to our beautiful conversation. That's a goodbye from me and a goodbye from Whitley.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Healing Through Love. You can get further resources, see the show notes, or simply reach out to us via our website at htlaustralia.org. Thanks so much for joining us, and we look forward to your company next time on the Healing Through Love podcast.